The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Five times before is about to make a difference again. Only this time it's different.
Who left the fridge open?
Tug Speedman, Scorcher 6, Global Meltdown.
Here we go again. Again.
Okay, here we go.
Will there be you anything else?
Oh, yes, my dear man. No pains.
Granny, ew! Uncle Weird.
This summer, America's favorite obese family is back.
You're just mad because I'm skinny.
I'm not.
Jeff Portnoy. Jeff Portnoy. Jeff Portnoy. And Jeff Portnoy are the Maddies, part two.
In some countries, it's considered a compliment.
Letting loose this summer. In a time where to be different was to be condemned. And to be condemned was to die. One man chose to question his God. From Fox Searchlight. Five-time Academy Award winner Kirk Lazarus. And MTV Movie Award Best Kiss winner Tobey Maguire. Beijing Film Festival's coveted Crying Monkey Award. Satan's Alley.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Tolo.
Say something clever here. Anyone? Anyone?
That's Mr. Toll over there. You know what I mean?
Anything at all? Nothing. Okay. Philosophical entertainment, relevant irreverence, and a damn good 2 hours to get high. It's me, Frank Attolo, the man whose name knows the title of the show. Broadcasting now takes over the entire spectrum of sound across cyber world of this. That's me, Netterazi's couple server, Netaholics, and Infomaniacs. This is what you call home. Like they say in other places. Go on.
Bingo, do bingo. Xiu chun do dai si. Ham sub nook jai do ham sub jung sum. Hi, Cthulhu Chronicles.
Or as a. Cthulhu Chronicles. These files that jump on one another. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap. From Hamlet to City. From Othello and into every bordello. That's what it was all about there. My name is Frank Cthulhu. My man's name adorns the title of the show. Cthulhu Chronicles, or as it's known. In many parts of the world, a cartel in tatters. Here we are, a cartel in tatters. I'm going to stop chuckling after things that I think I say are funny. I'm going to start listening to the great words of Stan Laurel, who said, "Don't laugh at your own jokes." That's why he hated Red Skelton. And any of you out there who remember Red Skelton, the one thing I didn't like about Red Skelton, Skelton, not skeleton, Red Skelton was that he would laugh at his own jokes. And it was like, so, it was sickening how he did it. He was just sickening. And he was an alcoholic once. And he probably should have stayed an alcoholic instead of doing that Clem Cadiddlehopper stuff. My name is Frank Atolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of the show will never do Clem Cadiddlehopper. Never on this show or any other show will I do that. And speaking of other shows, there are plenty of them. Right here on all these stations that are carrying us, I thank you very much for doing that and keeping this show in order, keeping this show in consecutive, consistent, and conspicuous motion. Oh, and move that. Oh, I could do that. This is perfect. I found a perfect spot for the mic and this perfect volume for me. And I'm telling you that we're going to have a lot of fun here. Fun. Yes, it's not, there's nothing particularly engrossingly, envelopingly, emotionally valuable about this particular show. And as you could hear, and I love that opening to the movie Tropic Thunder, which we ran here in the collage, all those fake trailers for movies, including Scorcher 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And that's what we're going to be talking about, sequels. Fantastic, not even fantastic, how horrible some, it's fantastic how horrible some sequels can be, and even movies in the series of successful, what are called movie franchises. We'll be talking about those. And we're going to have an exclusive, and this is great, because I don't often do this, but you don't hear this. You know, this, you don't get this stuff on the stations that are complaining on the talk show. You know what I don't like about talk show guys? All they do is complain, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't care what side they're on, especially this guy now they have in New York. Oh, I forgot his name. Mike Lyko or something like that. I don't know his name. I forgot his name. Oh my God. All he does is go, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a horrible voice on radio. And he just goes, yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like, I hear it complaining. Really nothing worse as far as I'm concerned. I hate complaining. I hate it. I try not to complain. I observe and report. I call it O and R. That's what I do. I don't complain. I don't like complaining. Just do something about something. Now, I'm going to tell you what we've done about this show, and it just so happens it was very organic that as we go into Y2K plus 14 and through the first month, we have so many things going on, so many guests and so much happening that it's no complaining, just talking about this, that, and the other thing and stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. So I'm going to give you some of that and do a little talking about some things I think you need to know. And then you can leave. No, you can't leave. That's a Godfather reference. And then you can leave. I got these things going around in my head. Of course, you know that because they come out. And that's why you listen. No guests tonight, but next week, oh boy. Oh boy, there goes the coffee and the blueberry muffin and the noodles and the kielbasa. Was that kielbasa? What was it? It was some kind of, it was made from, it was made by the Amish. I had dinner made by the Amish that I concocted with other stuff. And it was very good, but it a blueberry muffin after it later on. And that's what happened. Listen to what's happening though, when you talk about what's happening. Next week, okay, on December 19th, words and phrases and a lot of talk, a lot of wordplay and stuff from two wordplay masters, myself and Mr. Thomas Savino. Thomas J. Savino, at TJ Savino on Twitter. Going to be back for another Savino Cotolo Chronicles. We'll be talking about phrases and sayings, not sayings, words. Not words. Yeah, words and phrases. Where did they originate? Why do we say these things? How come every day of our lives, when we're talking, have all these cliches? Okay, we'll be talking about that. And then be a lot of fun. Because when Tom is here, it's always a lot of fun. And then December 26th, Oh, my goodness. It's already time for this. The fabulous D will be here. The artist D will be here for a fabulous, it's not even a co-host. It's like, you know, I host and D hosts. We're just hosts. We're the two hosts of the roll call from the Bone Garden. And D said recently in a promotion, this was the seventh year we've done this. I don't like numbers anymore because I'm hearing too many high numbers, like low numbers. But anyway, well, that'll be happening. Roll call from the Bone Garden with the fabulous D. This is an exclusive Cthulhu Chronicles innovation. We will be talking about celebrated people who have passed through Y2K plus 13, at least up until that moment. Lord only knows, there'll be, 4 or 5 days left, and bingo. But we'll do what we have to do. It's a lot of people, not just the ones you hear on TV when they go through these list of people who did this, that, and the other thing. I'm died, I mean, but, you know, when they were alive. I'm talking about people of celebrity from all walks of life. And so you may not have heard. And, of course, as usual, we've forgotten anyone even famous who died at the beginning of the year. It's a long way from January to December. That's a long road, even down the Hallelujah Trail. And, boy, do things change there. And then we go into Y2K plus 14. Y2K plus 14, write it down here, Y2K plus 14. And that sound tells us we're getting even closer to Y2K plus 14. No, but seriously, and I am serious. I'm always serious about this. Because I just thought of this, and I always tell you things I just thought about because as they come up, they're probably important at that moment and never again, or maybe later on you find they're more important. But nobody says it. You know, I kept doing it from Y2K when I had the big scare about everything turning over to 2000 and we lost the 19s. And the big scary call 2000 Y2K. The new millennium began at Y2K. And I think, as far as I know, this is the only show that kept counting that way. Y2K plus 2, Y2K plus 3. We've done it constantly. And we're going into Y2K plus 4. I wonder why no one else did that. Y2K, did anyone? I don't know. What 2000? January 2nd, Jiggy Jaguar will be here. We're talking about the state of radio and whatever the hell goes on in his mind. And what knows, that's a free will. That's a show that just, it stumbles on its own momentum. That'll be January 2nd. On January 9th, which is the following week, the second show of Y2K Plus 14, a comedy cavalcade. You're going to be hearing more jokes than you can put into a burlesque theater. As comedian Ben Cole, up-and-coming comedian, Ben Cole joins us along with Jeremy Long, another up-and-coming, but you've heard Jeremy Long before, and me, and even other people who might be jumping in on Skype and telling us, this is going to be joke. It's kind of like a joke seminar, funny things. It's going to be a comedy cavalcade, and you're going to hear it all. It's going to be great. Just have a lot of fun with it. That's on January 9th. The 16th is the show that should have been tonight, Steve Olsher. Couldn't be here tonight, originally planned, and he's going to be here January 16th. Talk about his book, What Is Your What? And I'll be talking about my book. What was my book's title? I don't know what happened. It's a what in it. I don't know what's what. That's my book. I don't know what's what. But we're going to talk about Steve Olsher, and he'll teach you a bunch of things. I don't know. He'll tell you a bunch of things about what you can do. Especially you youngins out there, you netaholics and couple surfers. I know you're up there, a couple of your netaratis. You geeks, you nerds. But you know, I don't like to call them geeks and nerds. So I found, a netarati. The netarati. It sounds legal, regal. It sounds monumental. The netarati. It sounds like the Illuminati. The netarati. We are the members of the digital generation. New, an army of intelligence and, all that stuff. I don't know what's happening January 20th and 30th, so I lied. We're not completely booked, but we are going to have some other things that are going to go on here, too. Like, I'm going to be talking, today is talking to Eva Moon, who's a wonderful artist up there in, I think it's somewhere in Canada. I'm wonderful. I even one time recorded one of her songs. She's cool. And she's developed a one-woman musical comedy. Which has to do with her struggle with cancer. and really talks about facing personal challenges, as people do constantly, not just when they get old, but even young people. So, and there's a Kickstarter project to get that DVD going, because this show, which is called The Mutant Diaries, Unzipping My Jeans, has been going on. She's toured all over the place with the show, and it seems to be a beautiful success. A remarkable success. Not a remarkable. It's not remarkable. It's just that we knew it was good from the first place. So Eva Moon will be here to hawk that. Talk and hawk. That's what people do here. They talk and they hawk. I don't know. Maybe that'll happen somewhere between January 20th and 30th, or maybe it'll happen in February. But here's what else happens on February. On the 5th of February, not on this show, but on John Matthews, the radio show. I think it's called That Radio Show. On John Matthews, who is a man, he's been on this show and I've been on his show. We are diametrically opposed to just about everything in life that exists. Every thought. There's like two people. This is, we're chalk and cheese beyond belief. We're left and right and right and left, and I don't know what. You can't even pinpoint the positions. But you know one thing, we're different. And remarkably different. Did I say remarkably different? I mean, the disparity between the thought process and the ideals and values of John Matthews, that's J-O-N, Matthews, and I, you could fit a black hole in between, spitting out thousands of universes by the second, and still not get close enough to me, and still not put together. Well, anyway, I'll be on his show. That's on the 5th, which is a Wednesday. And then he'll be on my show for part two of the whole discussion on the 6th. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that this is going to be some battle of wits, because I don't, you know, it's not. That we actually do agree on something, and it's an essential thing. And I know you're going to enjoy hearing two people diametrically opposed to each other. And no, really. I mean, if we weren't somehow involved in the media as two people, you know, didn't know of one another, we would never meet at all. We would never be on the phone. We would never discuss. We're not bad people. It's not like we hate people who don't think as we do. But I'm beyond belief. I don't even think like, I don't, you know, I'm just hopeless is what I am by comparison to these people who have a dossier and a folder which tells them exactly. See, I'm criticizing him and I shouldn't be. I love John Matthews. He's a great guy and he's got a great family and he's a great guy. And he's a good broadcaster too, so I enjoy that. And you know I enjoy good broadcasting, so we do have respect for one another. And there he is right now. Go get him. I got a feeling I knew what's going on. Yeah, I do know what's going on. It's this, that, and the other thing. Okay, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying he'll be on this show on February 6th, and I'll be part two of what we talk about on his show. And I'm not going to tell you right now, but this is really important. And I don't want to say important. I hate to give important. I hate to put tag anything I do with the word important, because then I'm putting myself on some kind of a pedestal and telling you should listen, when all I'm actually doing is just pouring blood out of my nose because of the dryness. No, I'm actually okay. We're just hoping that it's going to be okay right here, because it's a smooth 59 or 60 degrees, which is good in the studio to keep it cool. You don't want to, even when it's cold, be warm, because then you fall asleep. That's why it's so terrible here during the summer to do shows. What did I do? I lost track of... No, I didn't lose track. I know what we're talking about. I'm talking about February. But there's a lot of stuff there going on between now and February 6th. So right here, Cotolo Chronicles, you shall be with us for that. What else? Well, you're going to hear about Juice Talk, of course, where you can get these shows. And you're going to go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, where you can find out what we're doing and find out about deals and things to do and what we're going to do on the show. And then here's one on 4Culture Magazine. God, I love this magazine. Not just because I'm in it all the time, but the 10th issue is coming up shortly. But because it's a groundbreaking digital magazine, and it is just terrific. And now that you have iPhones and iPads, and you have tablets, I guess an iTab is a tablet, but they call it a tablet. Whatever you have for those, you can really get into it. You could. This is where you read. This is the future. This is now. This is what's happening, and it's cutting edge. So it's right in there with all the stuff that you people know. You people. You infomaniacs, you netarati, the netarati, people who have paved the Hallelujah Trail. Okay, and then just, just walk. The older people, the people with more generations in their age, such as I, have, we've acclimated, and we're trying to get the rest of us to acclimate, but you're the groundbreakers, you're the next generation, you're the people who are taking it into an unbelievable, that is remarkable, and unbelievable territories that we never could have thought about. And we didn't think about it. I can tell you that right now. When I was a kid, I wasn't thinking about this. Even when we thought about the future and space and things and time, we never even imagined the internet, no less. What a bunch of dolts. That's why it came about. The people who were out there who were, we were laughing at these people. We were laughing at the people in our schools, smart guys, not us. They didn't actually become later on. Because they're not even members of our generation. But we did. We laughed at all the smart kids. And because of the smart kids later on in the 70s and 80s, and then we got this. And we got this fast. This came about fast, quickly. Anyway, thank you very much for doing this for all of us so that we're here. And what was that all about anyway? It was about being here with me and you as I chronicle, Cthulhu Chronicles. So these are all the things that you need to do and hear about. And that's what we'll do as we move on to greater things that we do here. First, should we sell a book first? I'm going to sell a book first. Then I'm going to come back. And then we're going to start talking about the 25 worst sequels of all time, according to EW Magazine and some other people who agree with them about it. Okay?
In a world where reading is dying out, it emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cthulhu.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cthulhu, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Of course, there were a couple of people who managed to get through my generation who continue to contribute. Yes, I who continue that me? You know, that is me. Because what, you know, I hear from people my own age and I'm sick of them. I'm sick of all of them. I feel like my life is like, you know, they listen to those guys who complain. Those radio talk show guys. Mark Levin, that's the guy's name. Mark Levin. Oh, my goodness. God bless this guy for being able to take conservative talk radio to the next level. Holy crap, what is that all about? Don't make it sound like a British ambulance siren. That's what it sounds like constant garbage. We don't hear it anymore. I've taken, it's me, Frank Cthulhu, and I believe that. They see, I don't believe many things, but I do. I believe that I've taken things from my generation now, as far as I'm concerned, just dead and buried most, 90% of them, 98% of them. Oh, my goodness, I can't stand it. Don't grow up. I can't stand it. And there's someone out there, a psychologist, say, you know what it is, Frank, you just don't, you're using them. This is how I think. See, so my psychologist is going, you're using them to justify how you handle adulthood and seniority. Not seniority. What is seniority? I didn't mean senior. I meant seniorhood. What is seniorhood? Parenthood, seniorhood? That's being what? Over 60? I don't know. No, it's not true though. That's not true. I don't believe that. I can't imagine. And it's just, you know, I don't make this up. These members of my generation, I don't know what they're doing. Good God. Let life go right by them. Okay, here we go. Anyway, here I am. I'm with you. You're with me. And this is why we maintain this young audience. I love you, all of you, for taking any time out of your lives to listen to this, any part of this, any time, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or 3 minutes. And that's why we're putting all this stuff together, because we have an audience, and we have the wonderful people at SRN Media Works who support this show to no end and keep it together with this, with the servers and the bandwidth and all the stuff that goes on. So stay with us. We're going to now look at something that came out. I don't even know when it came out at all, but this particular list, every once in a while we do a list, and it's funny, this is fun, it's fun. And since we have the list, and you people are just moviegoers, not moviegoers, I don't go to the movies that much. This isn't even about going to the movies. This is almost, this is like keeping up with pop culture, certain pop culture areas, topics that we do, and that's why we're doing this, because we've all seen movies, and we see movies, and then we see more movies about the same thing and same characters, and movies like become a series as opposed to just like here's a movie and that's it, but the sequels, and in the old days, you know, there were always, well, this is nothing new for Hollywood, because in the old days there were sequels to big hits, because, you know, when you get a big hit, obviously, it's just like when you get a big hit book or you get a big hit television show, you know, you get spin-offs. You know, you've got a built-in audience, because you don't have to introduce them anymore to characters and situations, because now they know it, and if they like it, they're acquainted with it, and you could take it down different roads sometimes. But Hollywood stretches that particular tenant. Is it a tenant? Is it a tenant? I don't know. It's a word that came out of my mouth. This format, idea, concept. And when something becomes a franchise successfully, of course, it's absolutely gold. It's gold for the movie theaters, movies, everybody, the theaters, what's left of them. It's the everything, distribution, DVDs, every way that a movie is distributed. Cable, pay-per-view, demand-per-view, pay-for-demands, whatever, right? So, and that's why you get all these, and like I said, it's nothing new, because when there were the themes and types of movies, and there was the relative, this didn't happen that much in books. In other words, when War of the Worlds, let's just bring that up as a book. And when then H.G. Wells wrote War of the Worlds, and it was a success. Now let's do something even bigger than that. Let's go back to the old Moby Dick thing. Let's go back to Moby Dick. Or the White Whale, as it had to be titled after when, what's a Moby, what's a Dick? A Moby Dick, is that a dirty book? No, they said, it's Moby Dick or the White Whale. As incredibly popular as this became, even before Herman Melville died, he never once thought, well, I guess I better do Moby Dick 2, or The Return of Moby Dick. You know, in the old days, that was the way they did series and movies, The Return of, and then Son of course, then he's stuck with it. You gotta take it to the next generation. Son of, brought, look at Frankenstein, second Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein. Oh, the story wasn't over. They said, here's the Bride of Frankenstein, then the Son of Frankenstein, the Ghost of Frankenstein, the House of Frankenstein. So they did this and kept it all together, continually beckoning the original audience to see the next chapter in this particular franchise. Yes, it was done all the time. But Hollywood had a lot more. Hollywood is all there was aside from radio in those days to watch. That is, you could watch radio. People watched radio, but before television. So now that Hollywood is high tech beyond belief, and there's so much they can do and have done. And over the past couple of decades, there still have been sequels. And some of these have been incredibly horrible. According to this list, now I'm not here to give you all of my opinions, but I'll mention some as we go along, because there's some things here that I haven't even seen. Some I have seen, I might agree with or disagree with, and there's others that aren't even on the list that maybe are worse than others. But we're going to talk about this list from a wonderful, wonderful magazine that does not sponsor the show. This, and they get no money for this, Entertainment Weekly. I've talked about it time and time again. It's a great magazine. Because you know why it's a great magazine? Because it's not a pulp. And I don't have anything against pulp. I like pulp. When I was in my teens, and I was in rock and roll bands, Hit Parader. Oh, I loved this magazine. I think it came out once a month. Maybe it came, not, did it? Or it come out every week? I don't know. Hit Parader. Oh, it was this great magazine. It was so great. It was pulp, and yet it had pieces of, you know, in interviews and things that were just didn't find, in, you know, until Rolling Stone, even when Rolling Stone came along and they started to get more serious and pretentious about rock and roll, Hit Parader was great. Because it didn't have, you know what it is? It said it didn't have, this is like Entertainment Tonight. They don't really have an agenda. Even though there are great books, as I say, as in magazines that had agendas, like Famous Monsters of Filmland, and, because you know, it's about the monster book and Thrills. What was a thriller? They also had another one called Thrill something. They had some spinoffs of those. And spinoffs, by the way, of course, they don't end with movies because, you know, you had the Archie comics, then Jughead had his own comic, and then Betty and Veronica had their own comic. Okay, all this stuff. So, you know, this is how it works. And you know television. Television has happened that. You get the Beverly Hillbillies. Suddenly you got the Beverly Hillbillies leave Hooterville. You go back to Hooterville, and you get Petticoat Junction, and then you get Green Acres. So it all works together, these franchises. Well, those aren't franchises. Those are spinoffs. But we're going to talk about what Entertainment Weekly, a fine magazine, as I said, which is, it addresses all of pop culture, whether you think that, you know, some things are commercial, some things are deep, some things, it addresses it all. And they're very, very, it has nothing but intelligent people writing about every form of pop culture. It's another reason I like it. So when they say, here are the 25 worst sequels ever made, and they talk about them, we're going to take notice, and we're going to talk about them. I don't think they're in any specific order, but I'm going to go through them. And then I have this incredible list we're going to talk about. I don't even have all of them. There are more than this. These are in the works right now. These are sequels and episodes of movie franchises that are being made even as we speak. And we're going to talk about that. You're not going to believe some of the things that come out. Will come out. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and I am chronicling. And what? And we're chronicling here Y2K plus 13. We're heading towards Y2K plus 14. Let's go through the 25. I think, I don't think this is in an order. And I don't think it goes, this doesn't, it, this addresses like a contemporary moviedom. In other words, there was no Ben-Hur, too, either, was there? Ben-Hur, son of Ben-Hur. No, there wasn't. But, you know, later on, let me tell you something that's in movie history. Errol Flynn, whose daughter was on the show, and it was great talking to her, and she has a great book out. You still get it? Maybe we'll get her back. What a set of legs. What a set of gams. Where did that come from? What is wrong with you, Frank? Here. Errol Flynn did a movie called Captain Blood when he was young and on top of the world. And years and years and years later, his son, who died later in Vietnam as a soldier, he's one of the dead, Errol Flynn Jr. I don't think his name was Errol Flynn Jr., but they called him Errol Flynn Jr. when he tried to get into movies. And what did they do? They made a movie, Son of Captain Blood. This is like decades after his father's dead, too. And he did Son of Captain Blood. That can be considered a sequel, yes, but it's not the kind of thing we're talking about. We're like we're not necessarily always in the 2000s here, but we're in the towards the end of the last millennium and this millennium, according to them. Let's get into this right now here on Cotolo Chronicles. Then we break, of course, at 10. Okay, get on with it. Okay, I'm trying to read at the same time as I. Because, you know, I have good glasses. I don't need. Okay, here it is. The Matrix Reloaded, made in 2003. The Matrix Reloaded. Remember The Matrix? Well, you knew this was going to be a franchise because that movie that tried to connect the internet and the whole idea of a cyber world illusion. I vaguely understood the entire thing in one by the time the original was over. They kept doing it, making it more complex. And I don't know how complex, but it says here Revolutions is actually worse. They said Revolutions was another one. Matrix Revolutions. But it says here the second Matrix, this is the sequel to The Matrix called Matrix Reloaded, feels more egregious because of the sheer nosedive from the original. Sci-fi droolers had 4 whole years of pent-up expectations and time wasted dissecting the first chapter's metaphysical riddles. It's true. I don't know anyone who even likes the first one, who loves the first one, who is well-versed in what the hell was going on in that movie. And that story of that movie. It says here, after all of the waiting, 4 years, what did they get? A laughable? This is what it's called. See what I, this is why I love. Another reason I love EW. What they got was a laughable techno rave in Zion with a lot of slow-mo sweat and revelers in hemp clothing. It's like a Lenny Kravitz video directed by Bob Guccione. That's great. And I so like I said, I don't know if it doesn't matter if I agree or not. You could say to yourself, I agree, I liked it. But there must actually be people who liked it. I don't know if this is the one where that guy, not Mr. Anthony, Mr. Anderson, the guy was just at home, Mr. Anderson, and he turns into like 50 guys or 60 guys. And then Keanu Reeves, Mr. Anderson, fights them all. What was that all about? It's effects, I guess. Ay, ay, ay. That was crazy. Well, there's that one. And yes, we're moving right along. You bet we're moving right along. We're going to number 24. Number 24 is The Next Karate Kid. The Next Karate Kid. Think of it as a... Listen to this. You're going to tell me this is not great? I know. Think of it as a turd with an inspirational silver lining. After all, it's 20-year-old star Hilary Swank. Now, not many people remember this. 2-time Academy Award winner Hilary Swank is in this movie, the sequel to The Karate Kid, The Next Karate Kid. This is 1994. 20-year-old star Hilary Swank is in it, of course. What does it say even when Macchio doesn't want in? So Ralph Macchio, who was in the hit, the first one, The Karate Kid, massive hit, right? He didn't even want part of the second one. And this guy was not getting roles, like fireflies in the night. I was stretching. I was reaching. It says, Swank plays bratty tomboy Julie San, who learns to harness her rage thanks to the fortune cookie wisdom of Mr. Miyagi. The fortune cookie wisdom. Don't you love that? It says here, comic relief is provided by a trio of roly-poly Buddhist monks who can bowl with their eyes closed. Who do they get to write these things? So they, here's what's funny. Not that this isn't funny in itself, because this right, and this is why I'm reading the writing from the lists and how they wrote, because they're just, I can't just come up with this stuff out of top of my head. I haven't seen a lot of these pictures, but here's it. This makes me want to see some of these things and really laugh, because they're probably hilarious. Let's see what they got now. Let's go to the next one. The next one in the 25 worst sequels ever made is Porky's 2, The Next Day. Now, I saw Porky's, parts of Porky's. I wasn't a big Porky's guy. Those kind of movies don't necessarily spin my wheels. They don't necessarily light my bulbs. They, you know, the things with the kids running around and they're sloppy and they're getting into trouble and they're dirty little kids. I don't know. But this, they, in 1983, they say was horrible. Was, and here's verbatim. Was there ever a better time to be a horny teenager than in 1983? That year, such teen TNA sex romps as Private School, Losing It, and My Tutor rolled off the assembly line like shiny new Buicks. I wonder if My Tutor, this is me talking now, not the text, My Tutor, I wonder if that was the one with Karen. And you're going, Karen who? And I'm going, forget about it. Let me move away from my thoughts and come back to my radio show with you and me, Frank Tolo. It says, these movies owe their being to Porky's. That Porky set the standard for these horny boy teenager movies. But by this time, the quick turnaround money grab, which is supposedly surprisingly light on boobies. This movie is surprisingly light on boobies. How about that for a review? It says, the cash cow had been milked dry. I mean, where do you go after Pee-wee loses his virginity? The circle's frickin' complete. Pee-wee is a character. I don't know if Pee-wee's would be considered a series and Pee-wee would be a franchise if he just did movies and not... I don't know, and then they have any continuing thing, continuing theme or anything. I don't know. Porky's 2 the next day. No, I have not seen it. Let's go to the next one, number 5. And again, we're not in... How about this? Teen Wolf 2. That's T-O-O. The sequel to Teen Wolf was Teen Wolf 2. So I guess Teen Wolf did okay. You could consider the first Teen Wolf a complex metaphor for the scariness of puberty. What with the sprouting fur and confusing changes. Don't you like that? Could take a movie like... This is the stuff I always tell you about. Metaphors, allegories, allophores, and metaphors. It works with the simplest of presentations. But the awkwardness of adolescence is nothing compared to what Jason Bateman runs up against as a lupine college freshman Bateman in what would become the long winter between Silver Spoons and Arrested Development, sleepwalks through the too clueless to be a metaphorical sequel. Too clueless. Two, T-O-O. I tried to be, as opposed to just putting numbers on sequels. And that's something I never liked, but they have to do that because they, even if it has a subtitle, the movie, because they have to identify it when people just talk about it. So it's like Superman. So if the next movie in the Superman series, in the, I'm talking about the old one, not even the old one, not that serial in the movies. Serials were, and that's not sequels, they did, you know, they do it in pieces. They used to do that when in the movies for kids, serials. Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Chapter 3. I'm talking about Superman. Then it was Superman 1 and Superman 2. And they not, and they, even when they had subtitles, they had to use Superman. They couldn't give it a completely different title. Because then the people wouldn't be able, word of mouth. It's gotta be like, what is that? In other words, if Superman 2, and I don't remember what Superman 2 is about, but if it was called The Aliens Attack, like, just for argument's sake, and I don't want to have an argument about it, but, right, they say, what is that about? It's just about space picture? No, it's just, there's no Superman movie. They don't know, right? Bing. So you had to identify. Well, Man of Steel, when they rebooted Superman, everyone knows Superman is the Man of Steel, so they could call it that. Let's go to the next one. But they tried to get, you know, Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O. Okay, Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blonde is this one. It's the sequel. You had to be made of stone not to be smitten with Ellie Woods the first time around. But when Ms. Witherspoon turns Capitol Hill into her own Barbie dream house while trying to find her Chihuahua Bruiser's birth mother, she goes from cute to cloying. Plus, making things pink is not a substitute for jokes. saddest of all is when poor Bob Newhart is forced to deliver the line, "Faux shizzle, my izzle, Jesus wept." Bob Newhart. Yeah, a very funny guy, too. And I told you about my trip to Alberta with Bob Newhart. Did I not? Or should I again sometime? I will sometime tell you that. Thankfully, Bob, who's very old, I just keep... when they get that old, I start, you know, coming up to the Bone Garden shows, I go, geez, that's old. Thank goodness they got him to stop smoking. They did, too. And I'm sure they got him to stop drinking. Although there's a lot of people I know who drank till they were like 90, 99 and 201. There's just something about alcohol that kills, and there's something about it that stays, that keeps you alive. It's like drugs in a sense. There's something about it that puts you to sleep and makes and destroys you, and then there's something about it that keeps you moving, you know, and alive. I'm not promoting drugs here, I know. I've made any number of references to them, but I'm just saying, okay? This is not, I don't promote that kind of stuff. I'm just saying. That was Legally Blonde. Isn't this stuff well written? I mean, this is just beautiful, isn't it? Let's go to the next one as we lead up to the halftime already. Now, this is one I have there's a lot of controversy with me and anybody who talks about this, and actually, I see most people who talk about this movie, because I happen to think that it's not one of the worst sequels of all time, of course. It's the third part of The Godfather Part 3. Let's see what they say about it, and I will be perfectly honest about this. I mean, objective, not honest. I've been honest about it. I just don't, you know, think it's that bad. There are terrible things in it, but whatever. Let's see this. Francis Ford Coppola mortgaged the Corleone legacy. Oh, wow, they just thought I'd do it. Okay, in this ridiculous postscript about La Cosa Nostra getting into bed with the Vatican, death by poison cannoli, the hot-headed nephew Andy Garcia rolling Nachi with Sofia Coppola as they interlace fingers like a mobster version of the ghost pottery wheel scene. Critics dog-piled 19-year-old Sofia. And she is terrible. But she's the least offensive thing in this act of cinematic grave defiling. Oh, man. I just didn't think it was that bad. Is it me? I am definitely in the uber minority on this one. But it made the list. And Sophia, of course, went on to win an Academy Award for writing a movie that didn't have any words. I don't mean it was a silent movie, but Lost in Translation is cinematic writing. I guess you can do it. It wasn't written like a David Mamet piece or like Chinatown or, you know, one of these movies that has actual English in it. But I really didn't go for the chemistry of, anyway, she became a pretty popular director, but never an actress. And she was, what did they say? Dog-piled. Ay, 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 I love these words. Let's go to the next one, because I don't want to get into any conversation about that one. How about this? Revenge of the Nerds 2. Nerds in Paradise. I've only seen pieces of the original Revenge of the Nerds, and this is what they say from 1987. The Tri-Lams go to Fort Lauderdale. Lamar still wears leopard print banana hammock undies. Boogers still a pig in a Who Farted t-shirt. And as for Lewis and Gilbert, well, you couldn't keep Robert Carradine away with a stick. Anthony Edwards phones it in, though, calling the nerds from back on campus where he's nursing a broken leg. Highlight the nerds' rap with Wormser on the wheels of steel. If you've seen it, then you know a lot more about what that meant than I do. But there's a horrible one. Moving right along here. My name is Frank Atoll, a man whose name adorns the title of this show, because I am the subject. The subject is Chronicle. I am the person who chronicles. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, not the Cthulhu Chronicles. We're going through the 25 worst sequels of all time. I don't know if it's of all time. It doesn't say that. Ever. I guess ever means of all time. Hello. Hello. ever means of all time. And I'm going to continue right now to do that until we'll take a short break, of course, at the top of the end of the first hour, going to the second hour, and then we'll move along with that. And stay tuned, because I'm telling you, is this a catchy thing? Is this something? Is this a teaser or what? I've got a list of movies being made right now that are of famous franchises and sequels of movies. Things that are being made right now. They're in the works right now. People are acting in them, and the cameras are rolling in the films, and some of them are being rehearsed and directed. Here's the next one. The Battle for the Planet of the Apes, 1973. Now, the Planet of the Apes, of course, became an incredible series, and it was rebooted. And we'll be talking about reboots also. Battle for the Planet of the Apes features plenty of ape-on-ape action, but little else. In a prologue, John Huston, hiding behind ape makeup and no doubt laughing all the way to the bank, lends his baritone to catch us up on some of the four previous Apes flicks. Then, Gorilla General Aldo tries to overthrow the benevolent Caesar, once again Roddy McDowall, who made an incredible living doing these movies, while a posse of radioactive human mutants, their most obvious symptom is an allergy to acting, plan a race war. Wow. You know, I have a lot of respect. A lot of people say, like, critics, there's just one person, you know. But when a critic can explain his or her feelings, even as succinctly as this is one paragraph, but you really have to have respect for how they see stuff. And I think that is why the world stopped for a moment when Roger Ebert and even Siskel died, because these guys really know. If you go back and read the stuff, you learn a lot about the movies that you have seen, that you did not, and even ones you liked, that you did not know about. I also bring your attention to Mark Cousins, who is the writer and producer and director of the story of film, An Odyssey, which ran in 15 parts on the Turner Classic Movies. If you get a chance to see this, or if you're going to buy it as a DVD, I'm telling you, you are going, if you like movies at all, this isn't just the history of movies. This is the story of film. It could not be more appropriately titled. It's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he's way younger than you think to know all this. Brilliant. And I'm a guy, you know, if you listen to this show, I get into all the levels of pop culture and movies also, in terms of metaphors and all the, you know, themes and stuff, the literature of pop culture and film. You know that when Mondo Heather is here, Heather Drain, and when we talk to actors and actresses and directors and makeup people who are, you know, we have over the years. So you know that. Mark Cousins, unbelievable. Google him. Find out where to get this. Find out where to see it. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. And you'll have a lot of respect for these people who see it. How about this? And now here I did not read this, by the way. I did not read this ahead of time, so I don't know a lot of these. Here's another one I'm going to disagree as being terrible. It's in the Star Trek movie franchise. That was with the original cast from the TV show. Okay? I know this is funny, but I think some funny things have, you know, a good, even though they're not presented completely, if I could watch a whole film and then even watch it again, if I could watch it twice, I think it's okay with me, but I didn't think this was that bad. But let's go on to this one. It's Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. I like this one. I like the whole premise of this. Let's go beyond the Great Barrier and find God. And then all the stuff. I got your pain and stuff. But this is what they say about it here. My favorite Trek joke goes, what do they call Star Trek in Japan? Answer, Sulu, Master Navigator. My least favorite, The Final Frontier. Who else but William Shatner would show, in a film he's directing, a scene of himself manfully climbing Yosemite's El Capitan? Trek 5 is an oil slick of spiritual hooey in which Kirk meets God face to face. then sasses and backtalks him. In an irony probably lost in the hubristic hairpieced auteur. God looks like atheist Karl Marx. It's true, but I think that's unfair in sense, because the character, just see it. If you haven't seen it, maybe you laugh at it. I don't know. But anyway, that's on the list. More to this list, and plenty more, because that was only number 10. We got number 11 on, and 11 on, and this list of in the works movies that are sequels or members or episodes and franchises. And this is exclusive. You're not going to get this anywhere else. And they're not talking about it on Mark Levin's show or on Sean Hannity's show or even on who else is on or even on any of the liberals. So they're just You know what I'm saying. You want to hear the man, you go to the man. You want to stay here? We got it. And we got it for you. Name is Frank Atomo. A man whose name joins the title of the show. And the show is because all the Chronicles. And here we go. Write this down. Go dispose of some bodily waste and get yourself some more stuff to to replenish your fresh of bodily fluids. We'll be right back.
The Doll of Chronicles. Internet talk show from the Neo Force Mod.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything growing, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
But yet, and I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Ray and Garnet, Garnet and Ray have a harness racing show. Check him out on SRN1, Fridays from 9.
Parents, there's a new rule for school. Students entering 7th grade this fall need proof of a whooping cough booster shot before starting school. Don't wait. Call your doctor now to make sure your child is protected. Learn more at shotsforschool.org. Message brought to you by the California Department of Public Health.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chief hope of our enemies is to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
Hi, I'm the narrator. Let's see what Frank Catola is up to in the studio.
I'm about to have a duel with my co-host, Jeremy Long.
All of a sudden, a bear attacks out of nowhere.
Oh no! All of a sudden, a bear is attacking out of nowhere!
The bear chews Frank in half and then turns towards Jeremy.
I don't have a lot of time here, mainly because this is only a 30-second spot, and I'm facing imminent death. Listen to Catola Chronicles Live Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. at 148.ca SRN Media Works with me, Frank Catola, and Jeremy Long. Say goodbye, Jeremy. That's enough.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey girls, we know what's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot.
Respect!
For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm D.B. Riley. Have you ever considered donating to your food bank? Even in a prosperous community like York Region, families will have to make the choice between shelter or food. This is not fair at all. Consider your neighbors, your friends, your family. What would you do if you had to make that choice? The York Region Food Network is here to provide food to people who would otherwise do without, and it's our duty as regioners to help the helpless. For more information, visit yrfn.ca.
And if ever you weren't here, that I'd die.
This message brought to you by SRN Media Works Broadcasting.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio. Now turn to mon, swing it, sing it. A million sounds you want to hear. It's a landslide every year. Everybody's diving in the smiling Coast choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes us see.
Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob. Who's Bob and Yes, sir, Bob? Hey, you'll find that out perhaps next week. Savino Cotolo Chronicles, words and phrases, things we say. God knows what they mean or where they arrived from in our heads. We don't know, but we'll do it. Talk about it. Many, many things. You know, Tom will be on top of that. And then, you know, just thinking as I look here, because January 23rd, January 30th of Y2K plus 14 are empty at the moment. Everything else is filled with guests and theme shows about things. And I'm thinking maybe January 23rd, or maybe we get Dr. Popoli. And January 30th, you know, would be fun. It'll be fun to get William Paisley back, the pocket guru. And him and I, that's a Mexican name. My son, Naim and I. Him and I will talk. Because I have this thing called Daily Meds, and if you hash mark Daily Meds on your Twitter account, and I might even make it a special account, Daily Meds, go on over to at Frank Cotolo, and every day you'll get Daily Meds. This is sterling thoughts. It's not, believe me, I don't know what to say. Read it. Read them every day you get one. Today there was a mistake. I actually scheduled two. That's a waste of one. We'll do it again some other time. Every single day, a different, new, and exciting, and therapeutic, and a thought that you shouldn't think too much about. It's, again, diametrically opposed to a pocket guru, and a lot of stuff that goes on there. But listen, that's a lot of fun. You could do it. Go on, do it. At Frank Cotolo. Follow me on Twitter. Maybe we'll get William Paisley. If we don't, or no, if we do, or anyone else, that means that this is the only solo show I will do pretty much until the end of February. Oh, please do not start emailing me and telling me again that I should be doing more of these. I love doing them when I'm doing them like this, but and maybe we'll do a month of just me. And I don't know. For those people who do that. You know who else we got to get back? We got to get Kurt Brando. Work out that time schedule. Him over there in Saudi Arabia in stop the off, Frank. Stop it. He's not in Qatar. He's in the in the Emirates. The Emirates. Remember them? Wonderful family lived down the block. The Emirates. And any incidental events are certainly in this event you're listening to. Cotolo Chronicles. I'm chronicling. And we're talking about the 25 worst sequels in movies and franchise. Brilliant is a way to put it. These are top journalists and pop culture experts. And they're smart alecks, too. And you got to be a smart aleck when it comes to this stuff. You got to write like a smart aleck. I've done some reviews, and I tend to do them differently. But I guess that doesn't matter right here. I mean, Y2K plus 13 going into Y2K plus 14. Don't forget that. We're coming up 2 weeks away from the roll call from the Bone Garden. It falls on the 26th, which is Boxing Day in Canada. Boxing Day, we will be live here, my Canadian friends, my Canadiados, my Canadianites, my Canadianisms will be completely intact, eh? Okay, how about this? We're up to, I don't know what number, I think 11? No, 10 or 11. Here it is, Ocean's 12, 2004. Ocean's 12. This, now you know what I liked about this? I didn't see it, and I didn't see the reboot of the remake of Ocean's 11, which they remade. That was originally a one-movie deal with the Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and all that group there back in the 60s. Ocean's 11. I thought it was cool that they made the sequel, and they called it Ocean's 12. Get it? See, instead of Ocean's 11 too, because hey, what are the Ocean's 11 too? That's stupid. If it ends in a number, the title itself, how could you make a two or right? So they called it Ocean's 12. Here's what they say. It says here, Clooney and company forget what made Ocean's 11 a gas, drowning their sequel in smug inside jokes. Julia Roberts' character impersonates Julia Roberts, and painful additions. Catherine Zeta-Jones as a leather-clad world-class sleuth. Villain Vincent Cassell. Cassell? I don't know him. Vincent Cassell eluding infrared armies by breakdancing. This is a bunch of zillionaires dishing out more of the same and expecting you to lap it up. Say thank you and tip the waiter. I love how they write. Ocean's 12. These movies are not gonna be. What happens to them when they lose this kind of money? Huh? I don't know. I guess in DVD. But like I said, you might want to watch some of these, and just to see how bad they can be or were or are. How about this Dumb and Dumberer? When Harry Met Lloyd. Dumb and Dumberer. When Harry Met Lloyd. Remember Dumb and Dumber? Dumb and Dumber? Then they had Okay, I'll admit that the kid who plays the young Lloyd in this prequel, there are prequels now. This is a prequel. It comes out after Dumb and Dumber, but it's about the characters before Dumb and Dumber. I'll admit that the kid who plays the young Lloyd in this prequel does a pretty spot-on Jim Carrey, but it's saying something when the height of cleverness in this grab bag of short bus retard jokes and duty gags is right there in the title. The moronic Mutton Jeff's nemesis is played by Eugene Levy, who needs an intervention on how to say no before they approach him for the man, too. He needs an intervention. These guys, everybody's making a living. They're out there. They don't know. You know, you never know. You know, in defense of the people who make these films, and, you know, they're working. They got more work. They're working. They don't stop to think. And then you can't even judge if it's going to be a hit or not. And take defense of some of those. How about this? Here. Oh, Conan the Destroyer. 1984, Wilt Chamberlain claimed to have sex with 20,000 women, and he's the only pro basketball player ever to score 100 points in a single game. But when it came to acting, he was shakier than Shaq at the foul line. Add Arnold Schwarzenegger and Grace Jones on the cast of Conan 2 is like an all-star team of bad acting. The biggest irony is that Wilt's character is on board to protect the virginity of the princess on their quest. Talk about the fox in the henhouse. Oh, that's good. That's great. I just keep saying, didn't you like that? I'm actually doing commercial for this magazine, but I'm just telling you I like it. I'm not telling you how to buy it or do anything, you know. Just tell you, this is where this is. Right. What about page? Where I'm number 13. I'm 13 now. And then we're going to move on. How about this? The Sting 2. Wow, they did. They made a Sting. That's right. The Sting 2. Paul Newman and Robert Redford's 1973 original. Now, this Sting 2 was made 10 years later. So, and that's wild that they would wait 10 years. You never know how these things get made, okay? Paul Newman and Robert Redford's 1973 original won a Best Picture Oscar. Byzantine Khan. Byzantine, I'm sorry. Did I say Byzantine? Byzantine Khan. Here, in The Sting 2, we get a scam you can see driving down Fifth Avenue and the unholy pairing of mustached manatee Jackie Gleason and Mac Davis. Wait, I know, Mac Davis. Does anyone remember Mac Davis? He did some acting. He recorded, arguably the worst recordings. Just horrible songs. I just don't know how the heck he ever became. But God bless him for making a career in show business. But with Jackie Gleason in this, Mac Davis, and I didn't even read that, but after it said Mac Davis, and the next sentence is Mac Davis with an exclamation point. Mac Davis? Not to be mean, but he's no Paul Newman. Heck, he's not even Lorraine Newman. He's like one of those phenomena that are recognized but unexplained by science. Now, I stopped to tell you how amazed I was that a Mac Davis made a living in show business, and then they, without reading that, and then they went on to say the same thing. Mac Davis? Mac Davis, really. God bless you wherever you are now, Mac Davis. What a lucky guy. What a lucky son of a sea captain, dog bitch. Okay, shall we move on? I want to make some enemies here. Are they going to make some enemies here? How about this? Number 12. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Huh? You know, this. If you're really one of those Trekkie, not Trekkies, this is Star Wars. If you're a Warzies, if you're a Trekkie for Star Trek, how come you're not a Warzie for Star Wars? You're not. How about this? Is there any doubt that Jake, yippee, Lloyd, will be remembered as the intergalactic Jonathan Lipnicki? The Dread kicks in during the opening scroll with its eye-glazing backstory about trade federations and taxation routes. We didn't wait 20 years for a lecture on supply-side economics. Right off the bat, Liam Neeson saves the life of Gungan minstrel Jar Jar Binks, and it all goes to hell from there. I like the original just for what it, just for its classical construction, which of course was anyway, just for its classical, you know. And then I eventually saw the other two in the trilogy, but going back, nothing. I couldn't watch any. I can't even get into these characters. I used to like science fiction at one time. Rocky Jones, you know, the crazy little crappy stuff. Maybe I liked it because it was funny and crappy and junky and surrealistic. Now they try to make it so realistic, and even this. And the idea for me, the idea of him going back, I was going to say Coppola, it's not Coppola, it's the other guy. The idea of him going back with more technology and better technology, doing three prequels up to the other one, is just weird. I was just weird. I couldn't put my head around that. I don't know. It's something. I don't. But I guess but they made money in that. I don't know. I'm asking. Who am I asking? The piano? To make money? The piano doesn't answer back. How about this Dirty Dancing? Havana Nights, 2004. They did a Dirty Dancing. I didn't know they did that. I didn't like the first one. I'll tell you one thing. But because God rest his soul, but I didn't like that Patrick guy. I just was not a fan of his in any movie whatsoever. How about this? Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, 2004. This really has nothing to do with Dirty Dancing other than it's Swayze's cameo. A waspy daddy's girl moves to Cuba on the eve of La Revolucion and gets swept up in politics, mambo, and hormones as she falls for dance floor Diablo Diego Luna. Most memorable Swayze quote. If you can't move through your fear and connect it to yourself, there's absolutely no way you're going to connect with your partner. God bless him. He made so they took the name and they went on with it. Wow, that's just what they did with The Sting, too. The Sting wasn't the same two guys or anything. So, okay, but it was a sequel because it bore, did it? Can I say that? It bore the name of the original and went on. It did not become a franchise. There were no threes on this. Now, Godfather 3 was on here, but none of these were threes. These are sequels. The very next movie, okay? How about, and this is not even, this is going to go deeper than the second one. Jaws the Revenge. Did you ever see this one? Okay, Jaws the Revenge. I just don't know how they could sell some of this stuff, but look here. After a great, this is 1987, and this, I believe, was the fourth. There was a Jaws 3, and then Jaws the Revenge, or was this the third? And it was Jaws 2, Jaws 2, and then I don't know. After a great whale eats his plane, Michael Caine gets out of the water in a wet shirt. In the next shot, he's bone dry. You gotta watch this just to see the stuff go on. This is the kind of attention to detail that makes the fourth Jaws flick riper than a bucket of chum. Oh, the Maneater follows Mrs. Brody to the Bahamas, where Mario Van Peebles plays a Rastaman marine biologist. A Rastaman marine biologist. The video box boasts that it's, quote, the most incredible Jaws adventure of them all, which is technically true. It's incredible that it even exists. And somehow Mrs. Brody is in it, but they find a way to kill Brody, and they found a way to kill Brody because Roy Scheider wouldn't do it. I don't even think he was in 3. I don't remember Jaws 3. Wasn't there a comedy, Jaws 5, people nothing? That made sense. Just five people nothing. Hey, 18 as we move along here. Actually, this is 9. 9? How did we go to 9? I don't know why I had these numbers. As I said, these are not in any particular order anyway. Okay, speed 2, cruise control. Remember speed 1, the bus that wouldn't stop? I forgot his name. I said, again. Sorry. He died last year. Dennis Quaper. Dennis Hopper. See how I find names? That's how I do it. I say them. I have the picture in my head. I don't have the name. And then I get the first name. And then I go, because I have the meter of Dennis Danta. It was Danta. Quaver. Blaver. Clipper. And then suddenly, my brain is working at that time to find the file that has the name in it. And it clicks it out and it throws it out. And because my subconscious is as open as possible to my conscious as is allowed by law, I let it through. Come on in. Dennis Hopper was in. He was that crazy guy with the bombs. Oh, no, he's the guy who made. He somehow has a device that if the bus doesn't go this fast, then it blows up. Here's speed 2. And amazing Sandra Bullock bought into this one. It's amazing that people joke about Keanu Reeves being dumb when he had the smarts to stay away from this. I'm laughing. I'm reading these for the first time, so I'm going along with you. Sandra Bullock, however, is back as Flipper to Gibbet Annie. Flipper to Gibbet. Yeah, remember that name. Flipper to Gibbet Annie. Who's now dating Jason Patrick's dreamy SWAT dude. We know he's sensitive because when he and Annie go on a cruise, he talks to a girl in sign language. And we know fellow passenger Willem Dafoe's evil because he attaches leeches to himself after planting bombs on board. Frankly, the Norwalk virus would have made a more convincing villain. I make this all. I'm going to write that word down somewhere in my life. I have to use this word, and let's spell it, okay? Flibber, Flibber to Gibbet, exactly as it is, as it sounds. You don't get a chance to use this word much, and Gibbet, G-I-B-B-E-T, Flibber to Gibbet, one word. Wow, you know you can't use that often. That's a great name for a racehorse. Now I suddenly wish I had a racehorse. Now I wish I had a dog. Here you go, flip it to give it, here, boy. It would be a girl, too. It's like androgynous, the word. Flip it to give it, maybe. Next. Oh, I see what they're doing. They are going in order. This is 8. Oh, so they're going in order. But they're going in order only in numbers. And I don't think they're saying this is worse than that one or that's worse. These are the 25 worst, but we're counting down. It's a countdown. That's the format they're using here. Now I understand it. Don't call me a flipper to gibbet because I'm not. Here you go. So these number 8. Friday the 13th, part 8. Jason Takes Manhattan. I did not even know this existed. Jason Takes Manhattan, obviously when the Muppets weren't there. Wasn't that the Muppets Take Manhattan? 1989. None of the Camp Crystal Lake Killathons are what you'd call good, but this one's unwatchable. Even the ways Jason dispatches his victims aren't very creative unless you consider a spear gun creative. And I think they use that in part 3. A group of teens sail to the Big Apple with stowaway Jason. He stows away! He stows away! As the boat starts to sink, the survivors row ashore with Jason swimming after them. Wait, didn't he die in part 1 because he couldn't swim? Oh my goodness! They just did not care. It's like the Dracula series from the Hammer films. The Dracula just keeps appearing again. I don't know. They kill him, he dissolves, he turns into nothing, and then he just shows up again in the next one. Okay. We don't get to Manhattan until the second hour of this movie. And when we do, it looks an awful lot like Vancouver. Because it was cheaper in Vancouver, British Columbia to film it. Who do they think they're... You know, I tell you one thing. And that's sometimes this so bad. And I love every movie that's made because it means work. It means the economy. It means everything great for people who are in the business. Unless, of course, it stains them and it's irreparable. So they can never work again because they worked on it, you know. But isn't this kind of insulting when it turns into a comic strip? Isn't it kind of weird when it does that? I always thought, for instance, Roger Smith, that's not who I'm talking about. Because Roger Smith was married and is very ill, and I don't think he ever died. He was married to, and now I'm looking for a name, the Bye Bye Birdie girl, who made love to Elvis Presley in her movies. Oh my gosh, my brain is just moving, the dominoes are falling as I go through this in my head, this pop culture, you know, this calliope that's going on in my head. Bye bye Birdie. Who was she? What was her name? She had two names. Anne Francis, Anne hyphen. Of course, Margaret. Anne Margaret. There you go. Ta-da! I found it. Anne Margaret with a hyphen. Like her, that was her last name? I don't know. She was married to Roger Smith. Roger Smith was an actor, not necessarily a famous or an actor. She's married to him for a long time, and then he got very ill. And I don't think he died, but she took care of him for like years and years. She passed their house all the time in Beverly Hills. Okay, everybody knew it. And then she was in there. She was out of the business for a long time, taking care of Roger, very devoted and loyal and noble. And I always admire people who can do things that I could never do. And I have values that I could never reach with the Elastic Man's arms. I couldn't. Okay, but Anne Margaret, why did I bring Anne Margaret? Why did I even bring Anne Margaret to your attention, I ask. Roger Smith, I was thinking Roger Moore. That's where it came from, Roger Smith. Roger Moore became James Bond. It became too cartoony. And then when a wonderful franchise or something that, you know, and there were still hits. But I thought that was a kind of an insult to continue doing. And yet he made plenty of money, and those movies made money, or they would have gotten rid of him right away, you know, but he did. But they just, the movies just turned into really, just cartoons and made James Bond a cartoon. It was not a cartoon. That's why I love Daniel Craig. He really brought back the guts of that character. That's my idea. And there's me. And I know I didn't say that with the acumen of these people from writing here at Entertainment Weekly, but you know, what the hell, okay? How about The Fly 2? Oh my goodness, that's right. And this is a reboot in the sense, anyway, The Fly was a remake of a movie called The Fly, and the original Fly in the 50s with Vincent Price, and it had a sequel called The Return of the Fly, okay? I think that's where that particular series ended, that sequel, The Return of the Fly. This was The Fly 2, 1989. You may recall that at the end of the 1986 original, they call it the original, of course, Gina Davis is knocked up with Jeff Goldblum's part fly spawn. That was the end of that movie. Here, in this, The Fly 2, mom dies after delivering the gooey larva that grows up to become Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz plays the baby that grows up. This is actually this should have been called Son of the Fly. Right? Okay, but it wasn't. Stoltz plays a brainiac kept in a lab where he beds Daphne Zuniga, I don't even remember her, before mutating. When he reveals his secret to her, she's incredibly understanding for a woman who just had sex with a fly, which pretty much makes her the real hero of the film. I remember seeing some of that. It was horrible beyond belief. Beyond belief horrible. I don't know if that was... I know the first one was Brooks Films was taken. So I remember one of the producers. Stuart Kornfeld was one of the producers. That name came right to me, huh? Stuart Kornfeld was one of the producers. And I casually knew him
in Hollywood. He was, and he worked from Brooks Films. He went to work with Mel Brooks, and of course Mel Brooks, Brooks Films came out with a lot of movies that were not, you know, crazy Mel Brooks films. Okay, I don't mean crazy in that respect, in our comedies. Let's move on to number six. Ba-da-ba-bam. Number six is Weekend at Bernie's 2, 1993. A friend of mine who's been on the show, Barry Meadow, is a great debunker of many, many things. He's a great debunker. I think he subscribes to Debunker Magazine. Is there a Debunker Magazine, or it's called something? I don't know what it's called. He loves Weekend at Bernie's. It's one of his, he thinks it was one of his best 10 most cherished favorite films. Cherished favorite? What kind of a sentence is that? One of his favorite films, period. Well, anyway, here's number six of the worst sequels, 25 worst sequels ever made. Weekend at Bernie's 2. Notice how they tried to class this one up by using the Roman numerals instead of calling it Weekend at Bernie's 2 with a numerical build. He used two lines. I didn't know that. That's where the sophistication begins and ends in this low-rent comedy about two schmucks, Jonathan Silverman and Andrew McCarthy, in the Virgin Islands with their dead boss. It's the same guy. GE doesn't make bulbs as dim as these guys. At one point, Silverman stops to consider the morality of what they're doing. "We're going to hell," he says, "if only." The same guy playing Bernie. That guy who just played this corpse. Ay, ay, ay. Again, two schmucks. GE doesn't make bulbs as dim as these guys. Wow. That's funny. Number five, as we move along. This is number five. I'm looking at it right now. Let me tell you. It's titled, this is not one of the first. Batman and Robin, 1997. Now remember, Batman was rebooted with what's his face? I don't even know his name, that guy. But it was Michael Keaton, 1988, and that, which was, I think, was a brilliant casting, using Michael Keaton as in Batman. That's the one with Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Where do I get a load of me? I was horrible, so I'm not even going to do it because I can't. Where do I get a load of me? I know I have it. I know I have that somewhere. We should play that. No, we shouldn't. Look, Batman and Robin, 1997. We don't want to bust Clooney's. This is Roberto Clooney. It's not his name, Roberto. See, Clooney. You know, this is unbelievable. I've clocked, get my brain going here because I've clocked out of this guy's. George Clooney. Whoa. George Clooney by this time played Batman. Not Michael Jackson. Michael Keaton only played him in two. Batman, and then what was the second one? It wasn't Batman 2. Was it Batman again? Batman goes somewhere. Michelle Pfeiffer becomes the pussy lady. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, here, let's say George Clooney was this. We don't want to bust George Clooney's chops when he's riding high, like now. But this makes his work in Return of the Killer Tomatoes look like Olivier. Yes, the nipples on the bat suit are unfortunate. Nipples on the bat suit. I never even realized that. But the real sin is the screenplay, which hands the cast such hardy harbon bonds motts as Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze line, "The Iceman cometh." There's too much of everything here. It's the movie equivalent of Nero playing a fiddle. Wasn't, what's her name in this? Uma Thurman, though, played the poison lady. What did she do? Did she spit? Her poison was spit. Her kisses were spit or something. You people die. But that was like, so, I don't even know if that was a comic book villain. But she's so hot in that. But true, I'll have to agree with that one. Not that anyone cares where I agree or where not I agree. Let's move along here now so we can get to Blues Brothers 2000. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Here's another one of those years apart. Where to begin? How about the fact that it's called Blues Brother 2000 and it came out in 1998? How about that Dan Aykroyd's ex-con Elwood is joined in the band by a sweaty blues-belting John Goodman and an orphan named Buster? How about a performance by Blues Traveler? Or the fact that a voodoo queen turns Aykroyd and Goodman into zombies? At least they spared us Jim Belushi. That's something. That's right, it could have been Jim Belushi. I guess he said, forget it. I don't know. I didn't go into that. By this time, I guess Aykroyd was looking for some work. Well, you know, he had to work. What can I tell you? Here we go with number three, Leprechaun. Back to the Hood, 2003. So there was a Leprechaun? Leprechaun, I believe it was a movie, and this is Leprechaun, : Back to the Hood. The writer says, I personally turned out after Leprechaun 1, which featured outstanding work by Jennifer Aniston. Did not know that. But who'd have thunk it would take them so long to come up with the idea of mixing Irish stereotypes and African-American ones? Equal parts funky fresh and severed flesh. This sixth chapter has America's favorite troll smoking weed and hunting the homeboys who stole his pot of gold. If a movie could spark a race riot, this is it. Oh, wow. There's a movie we have to see, huh? Jennifer Aniston? Wow. The things we learn, the journeys that some people make. We're up to number two. Then we're going to move on to the new ones. Okay. Caddyshack 2, 1988. Caddyshack 2. Again, with the classy Roman numerals. It's two lines. This is one of the most brilliant marketing ploys ever. I don't know anyone who'd want to see Caddyshack 2. But Caddyshack 2 with the Roman numerals? Okay. Let me put on my ascot and monocle, and I'm there. Unfortunately, Bill Murray, Rodney Dangerfield, and the late, great Ted Knight are not there. And Chevy Chase barely makes a cameo. Instead, how about a heapin' helpin' of Jackie Mason doing Catskills jokes that weren't funny the first time around? Jackie Mason, a finger and a finger for you and a finger. You know, he had a long period where he couldn't work because he got on the Ed Sullivan Show, Jackie Mason, stand-up comedian, and known later on, of course, he had a great comeback on Broadway and everything, but he got kicked out because Ed Sullivan, he was on the Ed Sullivan Show doing a stand-up, and he actually flipped the bird. And in part of his jokes, he went, and a finger for you, and a finger for you, and a finger for you, and a finger for you. And he lost work for the next decade. And Ed Sullivan was that powerful in the business. And a finger for you, and a finger for you, and a that was it. And Jackie Mason, this is part of his comeback, getting paychecks for this. You might remember him as the gas station owner in The Jerk with Steve Martin. So later on, Carl Reinhardt had no problem with him. Here's the number one, according to EW, the number one worst, and again, this is on the list. I don't know if this is the worst of all the worst, but here it is. It's Staying Alive, 1983. Let me read this to you. It was impossible not to be moved by the 90s soap opera comeback of John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. But what went little noted in that narrative of redemption was what caused his career to derail in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you Staying Alive, a disaster of such epic proportions, they should have handed out hazmat suits and Cipro when you entered the theater. Picking up several years after Saturday Night Fever, Travolta's Brooklyn disco Casanova, Tony Manero, is now a struggling Broadway dancer. I'm sorry, I looked over at something else, so I lost track there. He's a struggling Broadway dancer. Rejection has hardened his charm into a cocky, misogynistic swagger. After a one-night stand with his snooty dance star, who turned out to be General Hospital's Finola Hughes, he lands a part in Satan's Alley, a show so cheesy, it looks like Bob Mackie throwing up on the Starlight Express. The bitchy director describes the musical as, quote, a journey through hell that ends with an ascent to heaven, unquote. We get the journey through hell part. Where's the ascent? Tarted up in a Tarzan loincloth, Travolta shakes his moneymaker to Frank Stallone music. This film's directed by his brother Sylvester Stallone, finally answering the question, how much Stallone is too much Stallone? Staying Alive is a sequel that ignores everything that made the original great, which of course may be the biggest insult of all. If you ever get a chance to see this, think about the talent involved there. Someday I'll tell. I know I've told some friends and people who've listened to the show, I've told you my Frank Stallone story. I will tell you the complete Frank Stallone story someday. I'm not saving this stuff for a book, by the way. You want to read Molotov Memoirs and you'll get a taste of it. But, I mean, some of the stories, if I just tell them. But Frank Stallone music? What is that all about? And Sylvester Stallone was at the point in his career where he could direct. Wow. Well, Staying Alive, which, of course, named after the most popular hit from that original, Saturday Night Fever, which just made billionaires out of the Bee Gees. May most of them rest in peace. Okay? And that's it. There they are, 25 according to our friends at Entertainment Weekly. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am not a flibber to gibbet. I am Frank Cotolo. Me, Frank Cotolo. Here on Cotolo Chronicles. Live through 148.ca/listen-srn-mediaworks, of course, every week. And go to cotolochronicles.blogspot.com. Find out how you can hear the show again if you haven't heard it the first time. And go to Juiced Talk Radio for me shows, and also the shows of the great artist D and Velvet Steel. To be sandwiched between them is indeed not as precarious as it may seem. Let me tell you, now, we still got time here. Listen to this. I have in my hands a list of movies in the works right now. Sequels? How bad are these going to be? I don't know. But money is flowing. It's flowing like that stuff, Flow Jam or whatever. It's flowing like, I don't even want to say it. Going into the movie, tons of people are working, putting these together. Let's go through. This isn't even all of them, but this is a mighty list. So let me move along here, because we do have time, and tell you about this. Okay, Finding Nemo was the original. Okay, what they're doing is they're making Finding Dory, D-O-R-Y, Finding Dory. I don't know a lot about these movies now. I just know they're in the works. And here and there I know, I'm not even going to mention stars, because I don't know who's officially signed up to be in any of these sequels who were associated with the originals. So, you know, I don't know. But I know this is going on. Finding Nemo was the big hit. It's an animated, and I believe a computer anime, CGI animation. Finding Dory will probably feature the voices of many others. Okay, this Transformers thing, and boy, I tried to watch the first one. I saw it. I just, you know, the monster from outer space, they come here and they turn themselves into cars. It's based on a toy that turns itself into a car that turns itself into a robot. Whoa! Anyway, there they go. Transformers Age of Extinction. They're working on that one right now. They got the CGIs moving really, really amazing. And speaking of amazing, how about the Amazing Spider-Man 2? This, I don't even understand how they rebooted this. Like, they rebooted it almost in the same generation. Why did they do that? And they're like, they made two Hulk movies. What is that all about? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. Anyway, the reboot is going to have two. Amazing Spider-Man 2. I don't even know that kid who plays him. I knew Tobey Maguire. That's all I knew. Okay, how about this one? A Haunted House 2. Apparently there was a Haunted House 1. The Wayans brothers. Boy, the Wayans brothers. They made Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, that one they made, the blonde girls, white girls. You know, a couple of, they put together money-making deals, that's for sure. Okay, here's another one. Rebooted. We talked about one of the bad ones from Planet of the Apes, from the old ones there from the beginning. Now, that went on forever. Here's now rebooted again into Planet of the Apes, the one with Mark Wahlberg, and then it moved into something. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, is a sequel to the reboot, too. It's being made right now. Right now, they're making that movie, and I don't know who's in it at all. Sin City, remember that movie? It was a very stylistic, they did a lot of movies from graphic novels, but they haven't tried to make them all to look like graphic novels. One of my favorite all-time movies called A History of Violence was taken from a graphic novel, as was the great movie, I thought, another great movie, A Road to Perdition, also taken from graphic novels. Graphic novels spin some very, very good stories and drama and characters. All right, so there. Anyway, that's going on. Sin City 2, which is not called Sin City 2. It's called Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. A Dame to Kill For. That's being made right now. You know, any one of these I'm mentioning to you right now may never show up because something can happen. But I'm guaranteeing you this is an exclusive list. These movies are being worked on right now. Rio 2. There was a cartoon called Rio. Rio 2. It's gonna come out. I don't know what that's about. And the X-Men are going to continue again with Days of Future Past. This X-Men thing has really gotten nuts because it went on to Wolverine, and then he has his own series. That was a spin-off. And I don't know what else is going with the Invisible Lady and the one who turns into fire. That's Fantastic Four. What happened to the Fantastic Four? Were those two movies so bad? Money-wise? This is all about money, friends. Remember, this is all about money. Now, of course, and speaking of money, how about the Avengers, which brought together any number of Marvel comic people, including Iron Man, who on his own has one of the more incredible franchises going. I think they went to 3 movies already. And they were getting great critics. They were getting great reviews. Notes, we should say. Notices. Getting great notices. That's an old phrase. Well, X-Men, Days of Future Past, is going to, I don't know if they're going to do another Iron Man. He's not on this list. Paranormal Activity, did not see it. Has anyone seen it? Well, how about 5, the 5th in this franchise being made right now? How about The Expendables, another cartoon animated thing, The Expendables? I don't know if I remember that one. That's not the one, not The Invincible, The Family? No, that's not The Fam. I don't know. What is that? 3. That, now listen to this one. Here's one. Remember, has anyone seen Zoolander? Zoolander was a funny movie with a funny bunch of characters, and it included Ben Stiller, and his father was his agent, his real father, and his father in life, Jerry Stiller, was his agent in the Ben Stiller Zoolander. Well, it's years later, they're going to make Zoolander 2. Zoolander 2 is going, and I have word here that Stiller and Owen Wilson, who's in the original, are now involved with this right now. We talked about Star Wars before. Here goes Star Wars Episode 8. No, 7. 7. Episode 7. What's going on here? Bond 24. Daniel Craig, of course. This is untitled, and they're still writing it and getting through it, but it's in the works. Bond, the 24th Bond film. And listen to this one, Ghostbusters 3. I don't know if this has the original group in it. I don't know. You know, these guys are older, and maybe they're going to make that part of what is going on in this movie, but there's going to be a Ghostbusters 3. Mission Impossible isn't over. That franchise goes into 5. That's being created even as we speak. Kung Fu Panda has gone through 2 full-length animation CGI animations. 3 is now in the works. Kung Fu Panda 3. There's a movie called Chronicle. Well, you know, Chronicle and Chronicles is a widely used word for things. Cthulhu Chronicles. I'm the only one who uses it as a verb. Cthulhu Chronicles. What do you do? I chronicle. Cthulhu Chronicles. ... Now, listen to this one. Remember before CGI, remember who, when it was just actual animation, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was half alive and half cartoon? Who Framed Roger Rabbit 2? They're doing it. I guess they figure, hey, we got CGI now. I don't know. Prometheus was a movie I saw recently on cable. It was really, it was an incredible disappointment in money and in stature, but it was really hyped. And it's kind of like, and I don't know if it's a prequel to Alien, the original Alien. I don't know the connection, but it's something like it or what have you. Apparently, it made enough money to spawn a sequel. So Prometheus 2 is being made. I don't think Charlize Theron is in that one. If she is, then we could watch it just for that. Of course, we talked Dumb and Dumber 2, T.O. Okay, so now this is the sequel to the original, not the prequel. So the third, and I think, because, you know, Jim Carrey has not necessarily been burning up the box office with successes. I believe he's in it. Dumb and Dumber. Neither, Jeff Daniels also. We'll take a break from that very popular newsroom show he has on cable. And there's going to be another Vacation film. Chevy Chase, who's now 80. No, he's not. I'm sorry. Anyway, it's just called Vacation. It's about the Griswold family. And once again, we'll have completely different children. Okay, Pirates of the Caribbean will continue. I'm moving right along here as quickly as I can. Dead Men Tell No Tales. Another $1 billion for Johnny Depp to put into his account and buy another island somewhere. Listen to this. You thought it was over with the fourth Indiana Jones? Wrong. They're doing another one. Indiana Jones 5. I don't have a title. Indiana Jones 5. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts you buy the donuts that Harrison Ford said, I'll do it, and that's why they're doing it. They're not at this point going to change Indiana Jones's. Jones's? They're not going to change. Excuse me. I think we're applying just my breath with bodily fluids, even though I'm running out of time. When I do the shows alone, obviously my voice. Nobody else drinks coffee like that on the air. Only I, Frank Cotullo. I wanted, speaking of Michael Keaton before, Batman, how about Beetlejuice 2? Yes, Beetlejuice 2. I recently saw Snow White and the Huntsman. I did not know that was such a success that it would spawn a second one, but they're doing it right now. Snow White and the Huntsman, which was, Snow White and the Huntsman was a stylized version of the Snow White story. It even had the dwarfs and everything. Or should I say little people? Am I allowed to say seven dwarfs because of that? I don't know. Allowed to do anything. Sherlock Holmes, and remarkable, this is a great reboot. The one with the Iron Man kid, who was also in Tropic Thunder, and Robert Downey Jr. Wow, this guy is really versatile. Somewhere along the line, he really will win an Academy Award, not just play someone who won five, as he did with that character named Lazarus in Tropic Thunder. Tropic Thunder, I can't imagine them ever doing it too. It doesn't matter, but you've got to see that if you've never seen Tropic Thunder. I'm telling you, I Austin Powers. Well, why? Why is he getting a movie together? Because he can't get to first base. Austin Powers. What's his name? I don't know. I just got it. I'm running out of time anyway. He can't get to first base. So they're working on that. World War Z was he's trying to make that into a franchise. 2 is coming out. Speaking of Ben Stiller, how about Night at the Museum 3? What are they going to do with that? Haven't we seen enough? I don't know. Avatar 2 and 3 are in the works right now because James Cameron has to do 2, 3 at a time. He's like the guy who does The Hobbit. Oh, my gosh, 3 Hobbit movies. I can't bear it. I'm not going to see 10 minutes of anyone. And Ted, of all things, Ted with the Ted 2 being made. Those are exclusive. That's exclusive now. You don't hear that anywhere else. This is what's happening with them. So stay with it. They're coming up. These movies are, what happened to this? These movies are coming up. Where the heck is the thing? I've lost, oh my God. How can I lose this? Where'd it go? I've lost the theme. Where's the theme? Quick, somebody get the theme going. I've lost the darn, how did that happen? Pal, this, that, I got you. It's that, right? Is that me?
That's Cotullo over okay. there. You know what I mean?
I got a feeling that is this it?
In a world.
No, that's not it. Is this it? This is it. Okay. How did that happen? I don't know. It's just, you know, it's when I do a show, and I always do. I got to do everything here. Right? Okay, those movies. Watch for them, and we'll report on them in the future, maybe, if they wind up to be interesting. And, of course, maybe we'll get Heather Drain on here to talk about it, too, or what have you. Lots of big things going on till the end of the year. Don't forget, Savino Cotolo Chronicles next week. With me, Frank Cotolo, and I'll be here. Say goodnight to everybody is what I'm doing. Good night, good morning, good afternoon. And to all you Liberty Gibbets out there, stay well. And thank you, everybody who wished me a happy birthday there. Just see me on Facebook, see me on Twitter, at Frank Cotolo. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be tonight. So trying to make it into a sentence that is correct. Well, anyway, I'll leave now. I got nothing more to say.
小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，是 Cotolo Chronicles。